So the words of Jesus given to us by Luke are pretty hard to hear this morning, I think. But I want to remind you of the setting in which Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to a large crowd. Now remember, this crowd has been following him. And if anyone understands crowds at all, you know within the crowds is a gambit of people. There are people who are coming just to see what's the next miracle. There are people coming because everyone's going someplace and they want to go too. They want to follow where everyone is going. There's people who have been saved, who have been healed in the midst of that crowd. And then closer in still, there are people who are considering that this man, this Jesus, might be somebody to follow. And then up close are the disciples. So Jesus isn't just speaking to the disciples. He's not speaking to the naysayers. And there are probably some Sadducees and Pharisees in that crowd. It's kind of stirring the naysayers up as well. He's speaking to the whole crowd. And what is he going to do? He's going to tell them what the cost of discipleship is. And often, as I told them at 8:30, this is not a passage that preachers often use. We switch to Matthew, because Matthew doesn't say that Jesus said to hate your family. He says to love them less, to love them less. So why does Luke use this word, hate? Why do we have these two kind of opposing words here? Love them less or hate them? Okay, Jesus is talking to a whole crowd. And he's pretty much telling them, look, discipleship is not for the faint of heart. If you are going to be my disciple, if you are going to follow where I lead you, if you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to do this, and you may lose your relationship with your family. You may lose your relationship with everything that is important to you to be my disciple. We all receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. But not all of us can take up our cross and follow Jesus. So he is sorting the crowd out at this point. How many of you are just here to see the next miracle? And how many of you are ready to sever all ties with the world and have only one tie, one allegiance, but that is with God, our Lord, and our Savior? If you cannot say no to the world and yes to God, Jesus is saying you cannot be my disciple. Well, you can imagine that at 8:30, where they talk back to me, I had a lot of talk back. Because this is a pretty hard passage to hear. When we hear Jesus tell us to love our neighbors, love ourselves, love our enemies, and now he's saying, hate your family. Is Jesus really talking about actual hate of our families? No. Jesus is talking about allegiance, talking about where our hearts are. He's talked about it, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And that our only treasure should be in this life that we get, this love that we get through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That when this is right, this is right. To give up all our possessions, he said it before to the rich man, the rich young man, give everything up and give it to the poor, and then you can be my disciple. It's about how connected we are to the stuff that we own, how connected we are to the families we have, how connected we are to the country we live in, how connected we are to the jobs we have, how connected we are to anything that takes our focus and our allegiance to God as underneath that which is our job, our family. And we can easily slip into that, because if we love them less, we can say, oh yeah, I can love my family less than God. And then something comes up and suddenly your love for family is much more important than your love for God. Or, yeah, I can love my job less. I can love my nice new shiny car less. And then something comes up and someone wants to take it and you say, no! It's, you know, those things that we think we can manage and still have a, a strong love relationship with God. Discipleship, excuse me a moment, something wants to fly. Thank you.
Don't set him up ahead.
Okay. That's all right. He was studying really hard and I shooed him away. Right into your life. Yeah. So, distractions. You know, life has distractions from our life as a disciple. And discipleship is not that day you say yes to Jesus, suddenly, there you are, best disciple in the world. It's a process. It's a process of recognizing every moment that God's call separates you from something that called you even stronger than God was calling you. And over time, it may still be something in your life, but it doesn't have the attachment to you that it used to have. Because your attachment is first to God. And the community, the body of Christ, that is so important in the midst of that attachment. If you think about the news we had this morning in our prayer time, what is more important than having a body of Christ that can surround and embrace a family dealing with a tragedy? What can be more important than a body of Christ gathered around a baptismal font when a young girl who can't really speak well shows us everything within her being that she knows Christ is her Lord and Savior, and the body of Christ surrounds and embraces that. Discipleship is about being connected first to God through Christ and then to one another. The things that we should hate, and hate's a pretty rough word, but I really think he was using a rough word to jar the crowd. Because if you have a crowd that thinks they can keep following you and they're going to get exactly what they want and life is good, no, they need to know the cost. They need to know the cost of following Jesus. And each one of his disciples ended up dead. Each one of his disciples were also crucified in one way or another for their following their Lord and Savior. Discipleship is not easy. Christ paid the ultimate cross for each and every one of us so that we all receive salvation. But we're going to pay prices too. There's a cost to loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And that is why we have, I'd have this every week, but that is why we have communion at least once a month to remember, because that's what this is. Great Thanksgiving is the remembrance of God's love for us and what God did so that we might be saved, so that the world might be saved. This is still an ongoing movement of salvation. This is an ongoing transformation into the kingdom of God. God wins, love wins. So Jesus is asking us in this passage, as he asks the crowd, is there anything worth more than the love of God? Is there anything worth more than the love of God? And if you can say, well, you might have to rethink that just a little bit.